Hare Krishna. Welcome to our Nectar of Instruction, Bhakti Shastri course. We completed Mantra 2 last time. Now we'll start with the verse 3. Now in the verse 3, Rupa Goswami talks about the six principles that are favorable for the execution of devotional service. Earlier we looked at the six principles that are unfavorable. So there's a linear flow of thought by which he, now from this verse onwards, the focus will be on these six favorable principles, and later on he will take one of them, association, and he will elaborate on them further in subsequent verses also. So let's look at these. This verse, text 3. Utsaha nischaya dhairya tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vritte shadbhir bhakti prasidhyati. Prasidhyati, the earlier word was vinashyati. These are things which cause the bhakti to flourish, to grow. So what are these? Utsaha, enthusiasm, nishchaya is confidence. Dhairya is patience, tattat karma pravartanat. Other activities favorable to devotional service, sangatyagat, king of bad association, satovritte. And then the actions of the past, say, past great acharyas, when you do these, by this bhakti flourishes. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulated principles, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing, chanting and remembering Krishna, abandoning the association of non-devotees, and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada gives a very categorical declaration. They completely assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So let's look at this. Now Srila Prabhupada's first sentence itself is a sutra, which we'll be elaborating on. Devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Its substance is practical activity. Its substance is practical activity. So what does it mean? Srila Prabhupada immediately quotes the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu's definition of bhakti as Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So Srila Prabhupada's focus in this purport is on Shilanam. Shilanam means cultivation. And what kind of cultivation? Anushilanam. Krishna Anushilanam. Cultivation that is favorable to Krishna. And that, he says, is bhakti. So many times people feel that devotion is just a matter of the heart. You should feel love for Krishna. And people often feel, why do you have to exhibit devotion to the world? Srila Prabhupada is saying that it's not sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. So what do these two, sentimental speculation? There can be speculation. Oh, for example, somebody may say, I closed my eyes and chanted, and I saw Radha Krishna dancing during Ras Leela. Oh, Krishna gave me his darshan. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate. Actually, what I'm saying is, I am so exalted. Do you understand how exalted I am? That's what I'm saying. Sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. So, Srila Prabhupada is very cautiously protecting us from mistaking just our pseudo visions for actual spiritual visions, and mistaking pseudo advancement for real advancement. The essence of bhakti is not just some visions or some feelings. The essence of bhakti is a relationship. We want to develop a relationship with Krishna. And relationship is developed. Feelings are no doubt very important in it. But relationship essentially is centered on commitments. Yeah. Two people can say we love each other, but then the strength of their relationship will not just depend on how often they say to each other, we love each other. It will depend on how committed they are to each other, through thick and thin. Similarly, our bhakti is a feeling, but that feeling has to be expressed through commitments. Now, the gopis are exalted devotees. Why? Because they are so committed to Krishna. And how do we know that they are committed to Krishna? One way is people say, oh, they left everything when Krishna called on the flute and they went at night to meet him. Leave everything. Yes. That leaving everything, when one is going to get some privilege and pleasure, oh, Krishna has called all of us. And we are going to perform Rasa with him, Rasa dance with him. There is pleasure over there. So giving up something when we are going to get something pleasant is easy. But we see the commitment to the gopis also, of course, it's not easy. Even when we're getting something to give up something. But it's relatively speaking, it may be possible for some people. But the gopis' commitment, we see at a much deeper level. When we see what they did for Krishna, when they came to know through Narada that Krishna had got a headache. So just to relieve Krishna's headache for one moment, they were ready to go to hell for all of eternity. They knew that if we put the dust of Krishna's feet, dust of our feet is put on Krishna's head, that will cause us to go to hell, but they were ready for that. They said, we'll go to hell for all of eternity if that frees Krishna from his headache for just one moment. So that is their love, that is the commitment. So the essence of bhakti is not just feelings. Feelings are important, but feelings that are expressed through commitment. That's why Prabhupada says, its substance is practical activity. Its substance is how we are serving Krishna. The closest that we come to deep selfless love in this world, which is something similar to the spiritual love, the depth and the selflessness of the spiritual love, that is that in Krishna and the devotees, the closest we come to that in this world is in the relationship between the mother and the child. And what is the essence of that relationship? The way a mother loves a child, the essence is practical activity. The mother may sit in her comfortable bed or dream, oh, my baby will become big, and my baby will do this, and my baby will do that. Yes, that's natural. When we love, there are feelings and there are dreams. But the essence is, if the baby starts crying in the middle of the night, what does the mother do? You know, she immediately wakes up and then caresses the baby, fondles. If the baby needs breast milk, the mother will give breast milk and nourish the baby that way. Sometimes, when we sleep at night, we put an alarm clock. Now the alarm clock rings at the right time when it is meant to ring. And still, bang, we sometimes just shut it down, put it off and again we want to sleep. But comparatively speaking, a baby is like an alarm clock that goes off at any time. But if a baby starts crying in the middle of night, which mother? Shut up! Which mother will ever do that? Never. Why? Because that is love. The substance of love is practical activity. Any time the baby starts crying, the mother wakes up immediately and fondles, caresses, comforts the baby and does whatever is required to silence it. So the love of the mother is seen through the service that the mother does to the baby. So if a mother just sat dreaming about a baby while the baby is crying, then those dreams are not really signs of love because the baby is crying over there. So if somebody is dreaming like that, we will start doubt. We would be forgiven if we doubted that this is actually the mother of that baby. So real love is seen through selfless service. Selfless service is the way in which the authenticity of the love is shown. Now, there can be real love and there can be shallow love, there can be pseudo love. How is that tested? That is tested by one's willingness to sacrifice. You know, in the Bible, there is a story of King Solomon. You know, there were two women who came, both of them were claiming that this is my baby. And both of them, this is my child, my child, my child. Now, how do you determine? So, King Solomon is considered a wise king among in the biblical tradition. So, he said, okay, both of you are claiming the baby to be yours. We don't have any witnesses to resolve it. So we'll do one thing, we'll cut the baby into two. Both of you can take half. And one of the women agreed. And the other woman horrified, said, no, let her keep the baby. Let her keep the baby, don't cut the baby. And then immediately the king said, the baby belongs to her, give it to her. He said, a real mother would rather sacrifice the baby than just to possess, let the baby be cut. So the point here is, that love is tested to what we are ready to do for the sake of love. So it's not just as a feeling. That's why Prabhupada says it's not sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. It is, its substance is practical activity. And we see that Srila Prabhupada exemplified this most extraordinarily, most unforgettably, most vividly. Srila Prabhupada wanted to absorb himself and think of the pastimes of Radha Krishna. Vrindavan was the best place for him. And he had already done his family responsibilities. He was in his advanced age, 69. And he had every reason and right to stay on Vrindavan and be absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that's what a normal Vaishnava would do. In fact, doing that itself is considered glorious. Because many people stay in their own homes till the end of their lives. But here he has already left his home, gone to Vrindavan, was living in Vrindavan. And he had already taken sannyas also. So he had every reason and right to stay in Vrindavan, but he did not do that. Substance is practical activity. What is the practical activity? He wanted to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant that he wanted to personally go, because that's how the mission would spread. So he went to America, and from there all over the world he went almost 14 times. Circumnavigated the world on preaching tours so that Krishna consciousness will spread. So its substance is practical activity. And we see the kind of practical activity that Srila Prabhupada did. And he went to America, he would cook for the hippies. One time, we devotees had gone for a yatra. So we were to Jagannathpuri, and we were staying in one of the Gaudiya Mata ashrams at that time. So some Gaudiya Mata sannyasi came over there. As we devotees, all of us waiting for Sadam, some Gaudiya Mata sannyasi also came there. And one of the youth forum boys from Pune, he thought that, let me get a watch to serve a sannyasi. So he went and, can I serve prasad to the sannyasi? So they asked him, the devotees over there, he said, are you initiated? He said, no, I'm not initiated right now. He says, if you're not initiated, you cannot serve prasad to a sannyasi. You have to be initiated to do that. So he came, that was the standard over there. Now, this is the traditional standard that a non-initiated person cannot even serve prasad to a sannyasi. So of course, in some traditional places this may be followed. But what was Srila Prabhupada's standard? It was far beyond tradition, this kind of traditional standard. It was the standard of selfless compassion. Leave alone taking prasad from an initiated devotee, Prabhupada was cooking prasad for people who, leave alone not being initiated, they are not even practicing devotees. They are breaking all the regulatory principles. And Prabhupada not only serving them prasadam, Prabhupada was washing their plates. He was happily doing it. Why was he doing it? It's the substance is practical activity. That was what was required to bring people closer to Krishna. Prabhupada was ready to do that. So whatever it takes. So ecstasy, you know, devotional ecstasy. We sometimes have a very fanciful idea. Devotional ecstasy means, oh, I think of Krishna. I think of such intimate pastime that I had. I start getting some feelings in my heart. That is devotional ecstasy. Yes, that may be, that may not be. We don't know. It's safe to assume that we are not so advanced right now. But actually, even if it is some devotional feelings, the real essence of devotional ecstasy is not that which gives us ecstasy, but that which gives Krishna ecstasy. And because we are parts of Krishna, just as in the stomach is nourished, the hand gets nourished automatically. Similarly, if we give ecstasy to Krishna, then automatically we get ecstasy in return. So Srila Prabhupada, he said that his purports are his devotional ecstasies. So what does it mean? Now sometimes we start reading his purports, we feel that he's giving such basic points. And for example, the first canto of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is very devotional scene. Krishna is living in Dwarka, and at that time Arjuna is coming, and Arjuna is holding an umbrella over Krishna's head, and then all the people are there outside, just seeing him off, and everybody is in tears because Krishna is leaving. And Prabhupada in those purports is condemning modern civilization. And he's saying the civilization is filled with factories and this and that. And you wonder, such a devotional thing is happening in the translation. Why is Prabhupada condemning modern civilization in the purport? You wonder, what devotional ecstasy is there? See, devotional ecstasy is that which gives Krishna ecstasy. What gives Krishna ecstasy? When Krishna loves all his children, and when those children who have gone away from him, they come back to him, that will give him ecstasy. And what is the duty of a of a spiritual master or a spiritual teacher, the duty is to remove the obstacles between the conditioned souls and Krishna. So what is Srila Prabhupada doing in his purports? He's removing those obstacles. So every purport is like a hammer. And the hammer hits on the head. The misconceptions that have built thick walls, closing our head to perceiving Krishna's beauty and glory, those walls, they break. So Srila Prabhupada's purports, they smash the misconceptions that stop us from understanding Krishna and loving Krishna in a genuine sense, not in a superficial sense. So what is the devotional ecstasy of Srila Prabhupada's purports? That his purports are actually removing the misconceptions that keep people from going to Krishna and are bringing those people to Krishna. And we see that these purports have brought thousands of people from all over the world to Krishna's lotus feet. So its substance is practical activity. Devotional service is cultivation, and the cultivation is through practical activity. So even chanting which we do, the importance of chanting is that it's also activity. Prabhupada did not recommend just silent meditation. Although even in our tradition there are acharyas who have chanted the Hare Krishna mantra silently, but in the modern times our acharyas have not recommended that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself told Haridas Thakur, as is described in Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that actually one who chants loudly, that person benefits not only oneself but others also, because others who hear, they get benefited. So therefore the important point is that everybody should be engaged in Krishna's service. That's the mood of a devotee, and for that a devotee is ready to do whatever activity is required. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Mayapur, the devotees were all engaged in construction of temples, and Prabhupada said, why do we need such big temples? He said, for ourselves we can chant Hare Krishna in this place. Even if it, to the material vision, it looks barren, it's rich with fruits of love for Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing them even today. He says, we can get those fruits and we relish them, but we want the whole world to relish them. And we may be able to live simply, but people from all over the world can't live simply. For them, we need to have comfortable accommodations. We need to have a bustling activity over here. They will need the facilities. We provide the facilities, then they will come here. In the big temples we are building, they are to attract the people, and thereby we glorify the Lord. So, substance is practical activity. Gurudas Prabhu describes in one of his Vyas Puja offerings that he was the temple president of Vrindavan temple. His temple was still coming up. He was the in charge of the Vrindavan project. And once Prabhupada came from abroad to Delhi, and he was on his way to Vrindavan. And at that time the devotees had just come to Vrindavan, the Vrindavan project had just started, and he had just come to Vrindavan for the first time. And he was, it means Prabhupada had come to Vrindavan for the first time after Gurudas Prabhu had come there. And based on reading Krishna book and other such literatures, the devotees had a very, very sweet picture of Vrindavan. Oh, peacocks are chirping, peacocks are spreading their birds, spreading their beautiful feathers. High up in the sky, the birds are chirping, and then here the trees are having roots with jewels in them. And thinking, oh, now if Prabhupada comes here, and Prabhupada will tell some very sweet esoteric advanced pastimes about Radha Krishna, and then I will relish those pastimes. That was their mood. That was what he was thinking. But when Prabhupada came down from the airplane and he saw him, he said, Prabhupada looking very grave. Thought, maybe the pure devotee is thinking of some intimate pastime of Radha Krishna, I should not disturb. And then they got into the car and they're coming along. And all along, Prabhupada's hand was in the bead bag, and Prabhupada seemed to be lost in thought, chanting Hare Krishna occasionally, but deep in thought. And then throughout the car ride from Delhi to Vrindavan, Prabhupada did not speak one word practically. And he was thinking, I wanted to hear some words of nectar coming from Prabhupada's lips. Something about the glory of Krishna, the glory of Vrindavan. But I was thinking, I should not disturb the ecstasy of a pure devotee also. And finally, as we just came near Vrindavan, Prabhupada spoke one word. And that one word shattered my illusory conceptions of devotional advancement, he says. What was that one word? Cement. How are you planning to get cement? So he said, Prabhupada, he could very easily have been thinking of the intimate past with Radha and Krishna. Although he was conscious of high up there, he was down here with us because he wanted us to be engaged in devotional service, and he wanted us to engage others in devotional service, to help others to come to Krishna. So he says, that time I understood that what Prabhupada would want me to do is not just imaginative ecstasy or sentimental speculation. What Prabhupada would want is engage in practical devotional service. So Prabhupada was concerned that you want to construct the temple quickly, but cement is not available. How should we get cement? That was Prabhupada's concern. And eventually when they got cement, Prabhupada got one devotee to count all the bags and told them, keep them and lock them very carefully. Prabhupada told how you should lock them, how you should make sure that nobody steals it, and what all you should do. So Prabhupada talked about the cement bags as if they were like bags of gold. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, there is a verse about the advanced devotee, which describes how this advanced spiritualist sees everything equally. Jnana vijnana truptatma kutastho vijitendriha yukta ityuchyate yogi samaloshtashma kanchanaha. So in 6.8, here Krishna is telling that samaloshtashma kanchanaha, that a pure devotee or an advanced spiritualist, maybe also an impersonalist, or maybe a seeker of transcendence without having any clear conception of transcendence, whatever, but such a person, samaloshtashma kanchanaha. The person sees stone, pebbles and gold equally. So now the focus of this context of the Gita is that the person is not attached to anything material. But here we see the application of that verse in a far more deeper and richer context. That is, for a pure devotee, stone, cement is ultimately a stone powder, we could say in one sense. But pure devotee, if cement can be used in Krishna's service, and a pure devotee may value cement as much as one values gold also. So a devotee doesn't think of things in terms of passive equality, that they don't give me any pleasure, so they are of no use to me. The devotee thinks of everything in terms of the potentiality of those things to be engaged in Krishna's service. So if cement is so vital for the service of Krishna, then I will treasure cement. That's a pure devotee's mood. So anushilanam is cultivation. The essence of bhakti is cultivation. So Srila Prabhupada used this word devotional service. There is devotion and there is service. Both are combined together as devotional service. That was Prabhupada's rendition of bhakti. Quite often, many translators translate it as devotion or divine love. Prabhupada translates the devotional service. This is an adjective and a noun. So service is there. That's practical activity. And what kind of service? Devotional service. So what do these two words combined together say? In a sense, we could broadly classify that service refers to the external component and devotion refers to the internal component. We are engaged in service externally and we are cultivating devotional remembrance internally. So both are there. At the same time, its substance is practical activity. So we keep ourselves engaged in service and we try to remember Krishna as much as possible. At our level, if we try to remember Krishna constantly and for the sake of remembering Krishna, we don't do anything, things won't work. Now we have to remember Krishna internally and we have to, more importantly, serve Krishna externally. Just keep ourselves busy in serving Krishna, and then we use the classes, we use the morning program, sadhana time, we use our study time to cultivate conscious remembrance of Krishna. And by both of these things, we advance in spiritual life. But as Prabhupada says, the substance is practical activity. Now when we talk about substance as practical activity, how do these two aspects relate with each other? Devotion and service. So there are many ways we could talk about this. Here I'll focus on one aspect of their relationship. Service is the vehicle of devotion and service is the engine of devotion. So this is based on an article that I have written based on Prabhupada's teachings. That article is there on my website. Why does devotion need to be exhibited publicly? That's the title of the article. So, devotion is, you could call the substance, fine. But that substance is not really real unless it is expressed through service. So, service is the vehicle of devotion and service is the engine of devotion. Let's understand these two concepts carefully. Some people say, okay, you want to have practice bhakti, practice it. Why do you have to raise your hands and dance publicly? This bhakti is private to bhakti in your heart. Why do you have to do an exhibition? Actually, kirtan is not an exhibition of bhakti. It is an expression of bhakti. And there's a world of difference between exhibition and expression. Exhibition is for public consumption, for public show. But expression is for the object of devotion. You know, as we discussed earlier with the example of the mother expresses the love, not just to reassure the love that the child that I love you, that is there definitely, but along with that it is also to do practical service to the child. Both are important. Similarly, when we do service is the way we practically express our devotion to the Lord. So otherwise, anybody can claim I am an advanced devotee. And how will anyone else know about it? The way we know whether somebody is an advanced devotee or not is by the commitment. So when a person loves somebody, that person does various things for that person. So love is not just a feeling. Love is also a doing. Love is not just a verb. Love is also a noun. So love is not just a noun, it is also a verb. That means love is not just a feeling that is there in the heart, up there somewhere. But love is also expressed through our actions. So therefore, service is the way we express our devotion to Krishna. Now somebody may say, oh, but God doesn't need, a baby needs service. But God doesn't need any service. God is self-satisfied. Yes, God is not helpless like a baby and God is self-satisfied. God doesn't need anything, that is true. Definitely. But God reciprocates love. And for the sake of reciprocating love in His highest abode, what does the Lord do? The Lord acts. Lord acts and responds to those who act with Him. So we see that in actually speaking, although the Lord is present in our heart and the Lord can see our devotion, the Lord is present even in the spiritual world and He sees everybody. But still people engage in devotional service. You imagine if the spiritual world were a place where everybody was just passively meditating on the Lord and nobody was doing anything for all of eternity. So the Lord is meditating on His devotee, the devotee is meditating on the Lord. Yes, they will be happy, no doubt. But it would not be a very exciting place. The reciprocations get deeper and richer when on does various activities. So if we were to go to such a place where everybody is just lost in thought and nobody is doing anything, we would not find that place particularly attractive. And imagine if that place was supposed to be the place where we are meant to study for or stay for all of eternity. Now we would feel that we are in a nightmare or something like that. So actually speaking, Krishna and the devotees engage in constant activity in the spiritual world. And that's how they express their love for each other. Krishna goes and herds the cows. Now he knows that he's playing the role of the son of a cowherd, a couple, and therefore he acts responsibly as their son. And in Mother Yashoda, she says that Krishna is my child and she serves. She churns butter for him and she feeds him butter. She cooks wonderful meals for him. And she serves him that way also. So in this way, Yashoda Maya and Krishna, they reciprocate love. So even at the highest level in the spiritual world, love is expressed. And through that expression, the love is reciprocated in a very deep and rich way. So service is the vehicle of devotion. Service is what? The vehicle. Vehicle means what? Something which carries. So for example, if I have to go from here to Calcutta, I need a vehicle. I may go by train, I may go by plane, but I need a vehicle. Similarly, our service is the vehicle by which we express our devotion to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would say that whenever we come in front of the deities, we ask ourselves. We should feel as if Krishna is asking us, what are you doing for me? What are you doing for me? That is Krishna consciousness. What does that mean? We have a relationship with Krishna, and Krishna expects us to offer our devotion to Him through service. Service is our vehicle of devotion. Now, along with that, service is not just vehicle of devotion. Service is also the engine of devotion. Now, what do you mean by engine? Engine is that which causes the vehicle to move. So, actually, when we do service, then our devotional feelings get stimulated. So when we are saying service is the vehicle of devotion, at that time what we are saying? Devotion may be there in the heart, but that has to be expressed and conveyed to Krishna through service. But what about all of us? When we sometimes don't feel any devotion at all. And even whatever devotion that we have is meager right now. So actually, service is also the engine of devotion. That means that by rendering service, our devotional feelings get stimulated. How is that? That's because we are not our bodies. We are souls. And as souls, we have an original eternal relationship with Krishna, which we have right now forgotten. So, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karaya Udai Karaya Udai. This is the sun rises its own course. Similarly, the Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, the Krishna Prem that is there in the heart, it rises. When does it rise? When we do Shravana Kirtan, when we engage in devotional service, in due course of time, our love for Krishna will awaken in our heart. So, what is our goal? Our goal is for that love to Krishna to awaken as quickly as possible. How does hearing and chanting make that love for Krishna awaken? Because hearing and chanting stimulates and activates our covered memory. Our covered memory. We are all suffering from amnesia. Amnesia means forgetfulness. You may have seen in movies that sometimes they say a hero is traveling in a car in a movie, and say the hero falls off the car. The car falls off a big cliff, and somehow the hero survives and falls into a tribal community at the bottom of the mountain in a valley, and there is hit the head, and because of that he's forgotten who am I. So then people around that person give him a name, give him a role, give him a goal. Tell him, okay, you're a wood cutter, cut wood. And he starts cutting. And then the father says, my son, well, father is this hero is like a millionaire. Son and the father is a millionaire. And the father comes searching, where is my son? Oh son, what are you doing here? Son, whose son? Who are you? He doesn't recognize anyone. And what does the father do then? The father starts providing stimuli. You don't remember? See this watch? Do you remember this watch? And he says, okay, do you see this pen? See this shirt? You see this car? So whatever was dear to this child, he starts showing that thing. And then slowly, this is the way amnesia is treated. That when a person has difficulties in remembering, then the stimuli of the past life, when they are provided through things connected with the past life, then they gradually revive the memory. Similarly, the whole process of devotional service is that we have forgotten Krishna. But that attraction to Krishna is there within our hearts. However, it is buried under layers and layers and layers of forgetfulness. So when we are exposed to devotional stimuli now, that exposure to devotional stimuli slowly awakens us. Slowly, step by step by step, it awakens us. And thus, we learn to love Krishna. So therefore, the important point is that when we say we learn to love Krishna, learning is not about acquiring. It is about reviving. The love for Krishna is not something which we have to acquire. Say, if generally movies, they may show a boy and a girl see each other and they touch each other and they feel electric current going between their bodies and then they fall in love. So actually they had no relationship but they fell in love. After they met and whatever they did together. So that is where love is external. Two bodies, they are trying to connect with each other. But our relationship with Krishna is not like that. Now we already have a relationship, we just want to revive that relationship now. So So how do we revive that? Just like the son of a millionaire doesn't have to learn to love the father in the sense that he has to develop a new relationship. He simply has to revive the memory of the earlier relationship. So that's the same thing that we too have to do. We too have to learn to love Krishna in the sense that we simply have to revive our memory of our loving relationship with him. So when we expose ourselves to devotional stimuli, when we chant the holy names, when we take the darshan of deities, when we associate with devotees, when we do hearing and chanting and serving Krishna, which is what we do in the spiritual world also, eternally, then gradually by that we become spiritually healed and our spiritual memory comes back. So in that sense, what does devotion do? Devotion acts as the engine, service acts as the engine of devotion. By engaging in service, our devotion gets stimulated. So when I chant Hare Krishna, when I take darshan of the deities, my forgotten memory is revived. And when that forgotten memory is revived, then by that, automatically my love for Krishna also becomes revived. And then I start loving Krishna. So this is how service is both the vehicle of devotion and the engine of devotion. And in this way, service enables us to advance in spiritual life. So let's look at what Srila Prabhupada is saying further. Prabhupada again comes back to the same point. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. As soon as we say cultivation, we must refer to activity. And as activity, Prabhupada says over here, meditation means stopping all nonsense and activities, at least for the time being. Devotional service not only puts an end to all nonsensical mundane activities, but also engages one in meaningful devotional activities. So, we discussed earlier in our Ishopanishad class how if we imagine x-axis and a y-axis, material activities are negative, spiritual activities are on the positive axis. So when we move from the passive meditation would mean moving from the negative axis to zero. But bhakti means we not only move to zero by giving up passive negative activities, but we also engage in positive activities. That means we start doing positive activities in the service of Krishna. And because our mind is filled with positive stimuli, then the negative stimuli automatically go away. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example of what Prahlad Maharaj teaches. What is bhakti? Even Prahlad Maharaj also doesn't say that bhakti just means contemplation internally. He says nine limbs. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pumsar Pita Vishnu Bhaktischena Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyata Tanmanye Dhitamuttamam Tanmanye Dhitamuttamam. This is the best education, he says. That by which one learns to offer these nine activities to Krishna. Now if we look among these, Smaranam alone is passive, remembrance. But apart from that, practically all the other activities involving action. All the other limbs of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, all these involve action. So the same point is there, we have to cultivate. Cultivation involves action. So now why is this important? We were discussing about Shadbhi Bhakti Pasiddhati. That's six activities that enable bhakti to flourish. That's what we have been discussing. But we have not even started, half the class is over, we have not even started. Which are the six activities that flourish? So why are we spending so much? Because time before coming to the six activities? Because when we say these six things, enthusiasm, patience, faith, these will let bhakti advance or cause bhakti to advance. When we say that, what do we mean by that? To understand how these six activities will lead to spiritual advancement, devotional advancement more specifically, we have to clearly understand what is devotion. And that's why Srila Prabhupada spent so much purport on first explaining what is devotion, on removing whatever misconceptions, preconceptions we might have had about devotion. And then with a clear understanding of devotion's cultivation, then we will be able to make sense about how devotion, our enthusiasm, patience, faith, how all of these will enable us to make spiritual advancement. So all the discussion is setting up the background for explaining how bhakti, how utsaha nischaya dhairya leads to spiritual advancement. So let's look at this further. So these are six elements: Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhairya, Dattat, Karma, Sangatyagat, and Satovritte. So Utsaha is enthusiasm. And Srila Prabhupada explains what is the importance of enthusiasm. So Prabhupada explains that nothing great can ever be achieved in any field without enthusiasm. So if a student wants to come first in the class, if a student sleeps during the classes, sleeps at home, as fools around, lazes around, a student cannot come first. If he wants to come first, he has to be enthusiastic. Hear the classes attentively, ask questions, go home and study the books, and then be energetic and enthusiastic by writing the paper also. So when the student is enthusiastic throughout, then he gets good marks. Similarly, we have to be enthusiastic. Only when we are enthusiastic will we get results in devotional life also. So what is enthusiasm? Prabhupada explains that endeavor with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. That is enthusiasm. So enthusiasm is endeavor, but what kind of endeavor? With intelligence. See, if I endeavor unintelligently, somebody says, oh Krishna, you know, I want to cook for Krishna. So I'm very enthusiastic. So I go into the kitchen and cut sabji and put grains and take masala. But I don't know how to cook. I'm very enthusiastic. Well, enthusiasm is good, but enthusiasm is not a replacement for competence. We need to have the right intelligence to know how to cook. And if we don't know how to cook, we have to at least have enough intelligence to ask somebody who knows how to cook. Then we will learn and then we'll be able to do the service well. Or maybe we can do a part of the service which does not require so much skills, and we ask somebody else to do a part of the service which requires more skills. But either way, endeavor with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So there are many people who may endeavor with intelligence. Or there are materialistic people who work on their projects in companies, so they are doing endeavor, they may have plan also. They work very hard and they have intelligence to evaluate. Okay, this is what we are trying to do, this is what we have achieved. So endeavor with intelligence is there. But it's not in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness means it is for the pleasure of Krishna. It is by those who want to do seva for Krishna. So endeavor with intelligence in this way. That is actually enthusiasm. So how do we know if a devotee is enthusiastic? One visible parameter might be, oh, the devotee jumps high up in kirtans and swings around exuberantly. Oh, this devotee is so enthusiastic. Yes, that's possible. That's one parameter of enthusiasm. But that's not the most important parameter. Dancing in kirtans is wonderful. But whether dancing in kirtan we are getting devotional happiness or bodily kinesthetic happiness, we really don't know. Yes, you get a good feeling swinging around and raising hands and moving around. Of course, we are doing it with the sound vibration of the holy name. We are doing it in front of the deity, the picture of Krishna. And we are surrounded by a devotional atmosphere overall. So naturally, it will not be that we will be not at all remembering Krishna. But we may not be doing it entirely for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever it is, our motive, we should always dance enthusiastically in kirtans. But the point is, if you want to measure our enthusiasm, just the energy with the person dancing is not enough to measure the enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is expressed through sustained commitment, through steady commitment. How do we know that? That brings us to the next aspect of faith. We'll discuss a little later about that. But here, essentially simple example is, if I'm going to Mumbai and I know which is the way to Mumbai, then I'll go enthusiastically, I'll go fast. If I'm not sure if this leads to Mumbai, and what happens? And I will say that, oh, I'm going along this road, but should I keep going or should I stop? Maybe I should turn back. So because I'm not sure, because my faith is not strong, so actually enthusiasm can also not be strong. Therefore, endeavor with intelligence. So we have to know that the right path is there, then we endeavor along with that path. So enthusiasm is endeavor with intelligence. And enthusiasm expressed through commitment, and it is to express it through commitment, we have to see how much actively a person is trying to serve Krishna. And actually Prabhupada includes in enthusiasm one more interesting point. He talks about Yukta Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that we don't have to confine the scope of our activities because we are practicing devotional services. Rather, we expand our conception of devotion to include as many things as are possible to be potentially engaged in Krishna service. So many people think that devotion is just one specific cultural activity within the devotional culture or in the spiritual culture of India. So they may say chanting or maybe reading some Bhagavad or worshipping some aarti in front of the deities. This is devotional activity. This is based on a very narrow conception of devotion. That narrow confined conception is that activities that are explicitly connected with Krishna, with God, with religion, those constitute devotional activities. However, this is a very narrow conception. In fact, everything and everyone is connected with Krishna. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhanjayate. No one beyond Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Krishna says in that point in that I am the source of everything. So because I am the source of everything, everything is connected with me. And therefore, everything can be used in Krishna's service. So enthusiasm means to also find out newer and newer ways in which you can engage in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada would often give the example of microphone. So that was at that time, you know, for a sadhu to use microscope was unusual. But Srila Prabhupada used it because he wanted to attract people to Krishna. And he says, microphone, its components belong to material nature, which comes from Krishna. And actually it can be used in Krishna's service, so we use it. So now, for doing this course, we are using the internet, we are using modern technology. So what are we doing? We are actually expanding our conceptions of devotion so as to include various activities which you normally not consider devotional. For example, just turning on a computer or turning on a mobile device, an internet card or something like that, and turning on to some channels, some programs, that itself you may not consider devotional. But when we expand our conception of devotion, we understand that whatever can be engaged in Krishna's service, that should be engaged. So that is also enthusiasm. So enthusiasm is illustrated not just in the energy with which we do devotional activities, but it's also exhibited in the creativity, in the intelligence by which we are able to expand the scope of our thinking and include more and more activities in the service of Krishna. That is also a very important parameter of enthusiasm. Now, utsaha. And utsaha nishchaya dhairyat. Nishchaya sometimes it means determination. And in this context, nishchaya means confidence. So what do you mean by confidence over here? Prabhupada explains that avashya rakhi bhai Krishna. That Krishna will always protect me. That is the confidence of a devotee. So you will see here nishchaya over here. So what is the Prabhupada explains nishchaya from a very spiritual perspective. He says no confidence in other paths and confidence only in bhakti. This is the meaning of nishchaya. So for us as sadhakas, you know, we don't have to at this stage have any requirement of very lot of intellectual exercise or a lot of systematic study and things like that, just to understand the existence of God. The existence of God is very primary, and what the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition gives us is far, far, far lofty. That's why, in a sense, the lofty teachings, the latch is tied. So only those who are qualified, they can understand lofty teachings. Others cannot. But that doesn't mean that other practitioners of other paths are excluded. No, a devotee understands that everybody can practice devotional service, and devotional service can give better results than anything and anyone else. Therefore, I will fix myself in devotional service to Krishna. So, Prabhupada talks in this, that no confidence in other paths is a sign of bhakti. So, if I take a treatment, and if I get cured, and if in the past I have taken some treatment and I was not cured by the treatment, then naturally what I will do? Whichever treatment works, I will take it again. So similarly, whichever treatment works, I'll take it again. So if it happens that a devotee has experienced for himself or herself that other treatments don't work, bhakti works. Bhakti purifies my heart like nothing else. And bhakti enables me to develop love for Krishna in a wonderful way also. Then let me practice bhakti enthusiastically. And devotee's faith is based not just on one's own experience, that is also based on the scriptural testimony. So when scriptural testimony and one's own experience both gel with each other, in the sense that both are in the same tracks, broadly speaking, both draw one closer to Krishna, then one can be grateful for both. At the same time, one has to be aware that actually speaking, my essence is to practice bhakti. And when I practice bhakti, then I make spiritual advancement. So materialistic people have opposite lifestyle, devotees have opposite lifestyle. Why? Anisha Sarubhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyam. That materialistic people and devotees, they are different. So their values are different, their goals are different. And one has to identify oneself. I am not a materialistic person, I'm a devotee. I may not have devotion, but I'm trying to develop devotion. I'm trying to love and serve Krishna. So karmis, jnanis, yogis, they all have to fall back to material existence. Prabhupada writes that impermanent causes restlessness and leads to fall down. So what are the alternatives? There can be karmis, yogis and jnanis who are other transcendentalists. So but because they do not get a higher taste, so they become restless. And because they become restless, eventually they fall down. On the other hand, when a devotee has confidence only in bhakti, Prabhupada quotes often Krishnadasa Goswami's definition that Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa Kahe Sudrudh Nishchay Krishna Bhakti Kahele Sarva Karma Krita Hai. That if I just serve Krishna, all other obligations will be performed and I will attain perfection. So this is the same point written over here. And further it is said that bhakti is life, soul, desired perfection. Bhakti is the life, soul, desired goal and perfection of the soul, of the sadhaka. So in this way, we learn about enthusiasm and patience and their importance on the path of bhakti. So we'll discuss about the remaining elements in the later class. Thank you very much. Shri Shok Shri Desha Amrit Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Rupa Goswami Pad Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Prima. Do you